Kia ora, Jazz.
Kia ora.
So we are back for this third part of this little series we're on. And we've been talking about ways that we miss the point of our faith. And so we talked the other week about if we think we're following a tyrant king rather than a servant king, and how that can lead us to kind of need to be powerful or dominating. And we secondly talked about if we've got the wrong understanding of the kingdom, we think this is about us and our personal spiritual liberation and not a concrete reality of God redeeming the world. Mm. And today I want to talk about how we understand heaven, which is not a word I think that I hear talked about much anymore. No one really talks about heaven. But to start with, I can remember a few years ago when I was overseas and I was lying on this beach, lovely palm trees, crystal clear blue water. I'm lying there in the sun and I hear down the beach from me a couple of people talking, and one of them's lying there and they said that classic phrase, "Oh, this is the life, eh?"
Yep.
I have to say I was kind of feeling the same at that moment. But I thought it was so interesting, eh? Because when you actually think about it, eh? That's not the life.
Mm.
Like, the life is actually the people you love at home, eh?
Mm.
It's actually your vocation, the things you're called to. It's actually the place you live. Like, really living, eh?
Yep.
Actually happens in the normal.
Totally.
As the poet, Irish poet Padraig O Tuama says, you know, he says, how you live a day is how you live a life.
Mm.
It's not how you live in Fiji that is how you live a life, eh?
Yep.
It's how you live here in the reality of things. But I think on a bad day, and I think this is quite pronounced in our culture at the moment, on a bad day there's a desire in us to escape.
Mm.
And whether that's escaping to Fiji or whether that's escaping to Netflix, or it's like, oh, I need some me time, there's this kind of escapist kind of narrative at the moment. We long to get free of all the complexity and entanglement. We kind of long to just be at rest somewhere. And if we're not careful, I think, what I see happening a little bit in culture at the moment is that for us, the place of rest is always somewhere else.
Mm.
It's always somewhere else. So when I finally get to go on holiday, then I will be a good functioning human, you know? Or I see this with a lot of parents, you know, when my kid finally goes to kindy, and then it becomes when they finally go to primary school, when they go to high school, and it's like always the better day is coming.
Mm.
When I get through this big stretch of work, you know, which many of us, if we're honest, the stretch of work just carries on and on and on and on, eh? That like the place of rest is always somewhere else. And it's a pretty normal longing in some senses because we all long for transcendence.
Mm.
We all know that this is not our home. The reality of this world is not the world we were made for in Christ. And so it's laced into our understanding that actually there is a longing in us to come home. You know, Paul talks about us as being aliens and strangers and foreigners. But sometimes I think when that goes a bit pear-shaped and it turns into an escapist desire, it's become kind of spiritualized into our ideas around heaven as well too. That we will one day get to pass on to leave the tyranny of this world behind, and we'll get to live in bliss somewhere else. We'll go to eternal Fiji or an eternal Netflix binge. The problem with this is that one of the passages which speaks most to this final moment of transcendence is Revelation 21. And what it says is it's Revelation 21, 1-4. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. So if we were to listen to this, if we were to believe John's account, and this is in other places too, it speaks of heaven not being somewhere we will one day go, but somewhere that is coming here. It is not doing away with everything that is or that was. It's restoring everything to its full glory.
Mm.
N.T. Wright says some really good stuff around this. He says this. He says, God is not going to abolish the universe of space, time, and matter. He is going to renew it, to restore it, to fill it with new joy and purpose and delight, to take it from all that has corrupted it. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom and rejoice with joy and singing. The desert shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The last book of the Bible ends not with the company of the saved being taken up into heaven, but with the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven to earth, resulting in God's new creation, new heavens and new earth, in which everything that has been true, lovely, and of good report will be vindicated and enhanced. One of the great difficulties in preaching the gospel in our days is that everyone assumes that the name of the game is, ultimately, to go to heaven when you die, as though that were the last act in a drama. And he goes on one final bit, this is a long quote. He says, the good news of the Christian gospel is that this new world, this new creation has already begun. It began with Jesus of Nazareth rising from the dead on Easter morning, having faced and beaten the double enemy, sin and death, that has corrupted and defaced God's lovely creation. So he talks there again of this thing. He says, we're not waiting for spiritual eternal Fiji.
Mm.
We are participating now in God's rest and his restoration and his recreation coming here.
Mm.
So why does this matter to us? Well, I think it matters to us because if the world is going to be replaced, then who gives a rip about climate change, eh?
Mm. Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter, you know?
Mm.
Like if it's like burn it all, keep fracking, it doesn't matter. If the world is going to be replaced, then, you know, we don't actually need to worry too much about all the people who are dying in horrific wars at the moment because, you know, they'll get to be with Jesus and, you know, it will all be fine.
Mm.
But if, as N.T. Wright puts it, the new creation has already begun with Jesus rising from the dead, then we should start living like heaven is here and now. So we should start caring for the environment and our climate. We should seek to restore relationships and create peace, and we should break down structures which oppress and destroy people. And one way we might look at doing that is throwing a massive street party where our people get to share together and their talents and enjoy together. If heaven is not somewhere we're one day going, but it is the recreation of all things, then we need to get busy recreating. Mm. And that's very different posture to us one day wondering if we're going to get to go to spiritual Fiji, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's funny, eh, because we don't talk about heaven much, but actually our belief of how it all ends, or our eschatology would be the big word, informs so much of what we do here and now today. So I'm wondering, Jazz, if there's anything there as I kind of talk to that that sets off a thought in you or things you notice in society around you at the moment.
Well, there was a little period of time, well, probably a long period of time over social media primarily, where I think maybe it was around kind of big lockdown era, and so many people were just saying, well, at the end of the day, you know, nothing really matters. We're on a floating rock, so it's all going to be fine. And I just hate that posture so much. It's just, yeah, as well as it being incredibly hopeless. Yeah, so the opposite of what you're speaking to. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree that the way we choose to serve Jesus and live our lives on earth is so informed by what we think happens next. And I think if we're of the mindset that we just accept how the world is and just the state of things, then we're not going to have the drive to want to lay down our lives to bring heaven on earth. Bring Fiji here. So yeah. Go there.
Bring Fiji here. Come on, Fiji. Yeah. No, absolutely. And so I just want to orbit back over the kind of three things we've talked about over the last few weeks. And really what we started off talking about was ways that we kind of missed the point of who we are as the people of God. And those three things were, we follow the servant king, not the tyrant king.
Mm.
So as we engage with our neighbourhoods and as we seek to plant communities of faith, we're not here to be noticed. We're not here to be powerful. We're not here to dominate. We're here to serve. And we're here to serve things that are not explicitly Christian too. Secondly, we are people of the kingdom, a present and concrete reality that's not just about our individual spiritual liberation, but it's about social policy and our world actually changing here and now. And we need to understand that because then we will think it is worthwhile being involved in the things that not only feed people's souls, but also their stomachs and their minds and their hearts. And then finally, we are a people of heaven, and heaven is the recreation of all things here and now. So we are not waiting to go somewhere one day. We are participating in something which is in our midst unfolding now and was inaugurated with Christ on the cross and his resurrection. And we would do well to remember, actually, that we follow a resurrected God. We didn't get a new Jesus, you know? We got a re-enlivened, we got a resurrected Jesus, with the scars still on his hands. And so God's heart is not to do away with what is, but to redeem it and restore it. This has been the Catch Podcast. You can find out more at www.catchnetwork.org.nz. See you next week.